Welcome to episode 77 of The Iron Agenda, the podcast about War Machine, wars, and whatever else is on our minds. Hey everybody, and welcome to The Iron Agenda, the podcast with the right to say no. I'm Josh.
I'm Dave.
I'm Tim.
I'm Jason.
No one is going to know what that's from.
That's the second worst intro ever.
No, there's going to be a ton of people who know what I'm talking about. Nobody as young as Jason. Anybody who was born before 1980 will
know. Am I going to be able to find a YouTube of that online to link to?
I'm sure you will. There are at least two different versions of it, a long version and a short version.
I remember the one with the skateboarders.
That's what that one was, yeah.
We were looking up PSAs from the 80s. Apparently, they're funny.
You know, I've been buying the Transformers, the original Generation One on DVD.
Right.
And they have all their old PSAs as extras on
I have
the
DVDs. the first season, but I made it through like the first disc and I just could not stand it anymore.
They only did a few. There was more PSAs on G.I. Joe than there were on Transformers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I remember when I used to get in trouble as a kid. I used to watch G.I. Joe and Transformers all the time. And if I did something wrong and my dad was going to punish me
for it,
it was always something like Dad, G.I. Joe says, and I would try and come up with some excuse. Like a lot of times, but Dad, G.I. Joe said everyone deserves a second chance. Because that was one of his PSAs one time. And so I tried to use that to get a punishment.
But there is no G.I. Joe.
I was like three.
I used to think Duke was G.I. Joe.
Yeah, I'm kind of upset that there's no G.I. Joe.
It's more of a
generic term.
They were all Joes, though.
Yeah, they were Joes. Yeah, right.
Yo, Joe.
Go, Joe. Yeah, Jojo. Cobra.
Or you could do the Burgess Meredith version from the movie, G.I. Joe animated movie.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. It's really bad.
Duke took a bullet for Lady J in that one, didn't she? Or didn't he?
Yes.
Wow.
Or Scarlet. Wow, no, Scarlet.
It was him and Scarlet, and then it was like Hawk and Lady J. That was like the two couples. And then Destro and the Baroness, because, you know, who doesn't like a big black man, apparently? That's what he was voiced. That's what he sounded like.
He wasn't
like.
Black, though, was he?
He was Scottish, actually. But it.
Oh, yeah, it was.
I think he was the same voice as Panthro from the Thundercats. That's what it sounded like.
No, I thought Panthro was a black dude.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least he was supposed to be the totem black character.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think it was the same guy who voiced him.
Interesting, but Destro's character was not, right?
Let's talk about, you couldn't tell because he had the mask and he wore gloves.
Yeah, sure.
Guys, let's talk about Snarf for a second.
Snarf.
I have a friend and we call her Snarf.
Dearly.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for your
friend.
She's
done something dirty to deserve that, didn't she?
Well, I know.
Anyways,
so
we're the podcast about G.I. Joe and Thundercats.
And PSA is about drugs.
There you go.
You have a right to say no. I suppose that by extension means you have a right to say yes, but, you know, they never put that in the PSA.
The right to say no, meaning that normally you do say yes. But you can say no because you have the right to do so.
I have the right to do a lot of stuff, and I do it all the time. Like, I have the right to talk about War Machine.
I have the right to say no to that.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right, well, so a couple of you guys went to the tournament yesterday, or was it just you, Jason?
No, I went.
Oh, you went?
Yes,
Tim did better than I did. Well,
I didn't have time. I didn't have time.
You ended up doing better, but that's because you lost earlier than I did.
That's right. It's true.
I didn't have time to go to a, five-round tournament that started around
four.
One-ish?
It was four.
And it started around, like, two-ish.
Yeah, I would not have been done
as well. You know, I am a big, I mean, I don't want to. I really don't want to complain, but I'm going to.
Okay.
Because that's what I do.
You have the right to do that.
I have the right to do that. I love helping new players out.
Watch this. I have the right to mute his mic. I love working with
new players. You're a dick.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm not muted anymore. I like working with new players and, you know, helping them out and stuff, but there were two people yesterday in a 50-point Steamroller Mark II. First Mark II, 50-point Steamroller in St. Louis. That was their first games.
Wow.
Guess who got to play one in round one?
Me. Tim.
Well, how did you guys handle it? Because, I mean, this is going to crop up at a lot of places. Whether it's a good situation or bad, you still have to handle it.
Well,
so, what happened?
What I did is she had already had a couple of box set games to learn, so 50 points expanding on it. They actually, she didn't have, like, a whole lot of infantry. She was playing Retribution. She had a unit of Mage Hunters with UA and some Solas. I mean, she had a lot tied up in Jacks and Solos, so it was really compact. So I just kind of, basically what I did is when it would be her turn, I didn't even turn on the clock for her because I was familiar enough with my stuff that I was pretty much playing 5 minute turns or less just about. I was just boom, 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 go. So I was just letting her eat up some time. I mean, when we got done, I went and checked with AK and we still had an hour left on the actual
You were the first
clock.
People.
We were the first game done.
Yeah. Well, that's a big complaint I have about SR anyway, about the huge time limits, but never mind. That's something else.
But it was, she was nice and I tried to explain it in a, I was explaining it very quickly, but I said, if you need me to slow down, mm-hmm. let me know. I said, because there's a round time, I'm trying to, you know, keep things going for both of us. And she was understanding. And we played a couple of rounds and she killed a couple of my things and, you know, did some stuff. And then I killed Raven and was over.
What'd you shoot her with?
Siege. Actually, Raven cast Veil of Mist to give herself stealth.
Yeah.
I moved up and put a Mage Sight right over it and ignored it. And then ground pounded her and killed her.
Does Mage Sight allow you to make, is that the one that just allows you to make magic attacks against it? Or
no,
is that something? No, I'm thinking of
thorns and it's range and magic attack, basically. But you and your battle group
ignore
forests, concealment, spell.
It's an old Kray spell,
smoke.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Kray. Kray still has it, now Siege has it.
Ah, okay.
Instead of Illumination.
I was about to say, where did that go, yeah?
Yep.
All right, well, Jason, what about you? What about your game? Or did you play these people?
I didn't play any of the new people, but I watched and I helped. And, you know, I mean, it's tough when it's your first game and you have so much stuff on the table. I personally think that, I mean, I'm in the opinion that you need to grind out like 5 to 10 battle box games. Because everyone wants to move on, but I really think it's important to get the core mechanics down and then maybe go up to 25 points, add like some unit and a solo, and then work on them. And I just think that you just need to be mechanically strong to be, you know, to be able to create your own ideas and create your own play style, you know, effectively.
Also, Viking played the other person, the new person,
mm-hmm.
and what he did is he kept the person on the clock, but like every time he would come to a decision, he would stop the clock for him. He said, you know, if you're going to play in tournaments, it was just to kind of teach him how to play with the timing and to also, you know, what critical decisions do you need to make? When do you use your extension? When do you not? And I thought that was a good way of learning the environment too.
Hmm.
Viking actually won best sportsman yesterday.
I saw that.
Absolutely unbelievable. I flew a fit.
You know, the topic of when are you ready for your first tournament, it's so hard to tackle simply because, I mean, a lot of communities run things differently. If you have an event every week or something like that, like, you know, we have one fairly often around here, so it's not as big of a deal for, you know, new people to come and try out at the tournaments. Because if, I mean, it sounds bad, but if a new person comes in and kind of throws off the results by skewing, like, you know, either feeding games to some people or accidentally stalling out in some cases or affecting results, however it happens, there's going to be another event soon. So it's not going to be like, you know, sticking anybody's cross, so to speak. But if you only have like an event every couple months or something like that, then it could, you know, it's going to be more competitive to start with and not the best place for a new person to learn. But it also has a result of, you know, something weird could happen. And no one wants, I mean, you don't want to feel like the community blames you for something happening. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That makes sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that kind of mentality comes from maybe other games? I've only played Uncharted Seas, I think, as my other only major tournament game. So do other games sort of have a more lax approach to tournaments or what? Because obviously, you know, Privateer Press games are very, very competitive.
It really depends on the format. Like, Flames of War and GW, the Games Workshop, like the Rogue Trader tournaments, they have a very similar format, or at least they used to. I don't know if they do anymore. It's been a while since I played either of those games, but they had, the soft scores. So there was, people would rate you on sportsmanship. There was a painting score. And
in that case, being like a new player isn't going to hurt you as much because you can still score fairly well in the other categories.
Right.
That's part of the game.
There's things about that composition scores.
Yeah.
And there were things about that I never liked because, because sportsmanship could be dictated by the other players in the tournament, if you beat them.
Yeah, we talked about this
last
week.
And they can hurt you. Yeah. I mean, you know, that those types of things really, you know, my opinion is if I'm playing in the finals and I lose, I know now Swiss system's different, but if it's in a bracket tournament, why shouldn't I place in some form?
Sure.
Oh, I know. Like Z was telling me the other day, he played in a fantasy tournament and
he told me about this.
He won every game and didn't even get top three. Like people who who had lost games because they had won by larger margins of the games they did win, they beat him, which to me, that's ridiculous. But, you know, I mean, I guess if you want to take it from like a, in the fantasy world, maybe losing more men is more, you know, important.
I mean, since we're dealing with assassination in a lot of cases, that's a much more clear cut, solid, this is what you did to win kind of thing. There's not really a gradient of how well you assassinated somebody. They're dead. You won.
But I mean, I personally think that it should be more like on the tiebreaker level than on the, like, I think if you win every game, like, what's the purpose of the game? Like,
to win.
In my opinion, it's to win. And I think that.
Well, to have fun, but well, the goal. But you know
what I mean? The goal is to win. The purpose is to have fun.
I'm just saying, like, in fantasy, like, you want to win, even just like a War Machine, you want to win. So, but if you don't win well enough to be penalized for that, I don't know if I buy that.
Well, I mean, like, the margin of victory thing only really makes sense if it's for a game that counts attrition or it's real people who their deaths matter.
Yeah.
If it's not, if it's just the goal of the game is to achieve a goal first, and you achieve that goal first, I mean, the next game you play, you sit down with, let's face it, I mean, unless you could wrap some narrative around it if you want, but your models, everyone who dies, just goes back on the field and you play them and deploy them again.
It's so possible.
It's not like only losing a couple guys impacts your next game at all.
Yeah, I mean, what's ridiculous is it's possible to go 2-2, and if your two losses aren't that bad and your two victories are wiping them off the table, you can win when someone can go 4-0, and you can beat them.
It's funny that you say that, Dave, because if it really mattered, Signar would have no soldiers left. They've been beat up so
neither
bad in the story.
Neither with the Protectorate.
Yeah, the trolls keep regrowing their guys, so it doesn't matter how much they lose.
That's right. What now?
Cut off my fingers. Cricks. There you go.
Cricks really should
no, Cricks.
They're winning when everybody else is
damn
losing.
Damn it. We need some more whelps. Where's our trolls? Cut off their fingers.
Seriously. I want the one with the big finger.
Bite my tongue off and it comes a whelp.
But anyway, this we actually are trying to work on a introduction to the game type episode, a new person episode coming up. But one thing that I want to mention that we didn't mention here is I think that especially if you want to play an event, but even if you're just learning the game, you need to read the book.
Please.
And be ready for the rules.
Read the book. More than once.
Yeah. Even and that sounds, I'm going to say this, if you don't like reading, or if you're not that into the fluff,
read
it can
anyway.
Be boring. And if you're just going to read it as a mechanical exercise, yes, it's not going to be as much fun as, say, reading a novel or something you're interested in. But there is a lot of information held in the rules, and it's not all called out and highlighted. It's stated once or twice, you know, in an area, and it's you can breeze over it if you skip entire sections of the book.
If everything pointed to everything else that was relevant in the rule book, it would be like 10 times the size that it is.
It would be a wiki.
Yeah, yes, it would.
And then, and also,
which would actually be awesome.
It is, but then we would have like Inspector Gadget's niece's Penny's book, and that would be something completely different.
That
would
be badass.
Awesome.
Computer book, you know, I love that thing.
Yep.
We need the Firefly LED screen paper stuff that they had.
There you go.
I also think that one thing that is really beneficial for new players is to seek out other new players so you can learn together. I know that I've seen and helped like a pair of new players with certain rules, and then they would work on them together at the same time. It would be less boring. You know, they could read out like a chapter or like a section of the book when they're talking about melee, and then you know, one of them can remind the other one of something, or pretend they go to like a night where people are playing games. They both play different people, and then they can bring back the information and make sure the other one knows it. I think it's really beneficial.
Well, I don't get too much on the topic because, like I said, we're going to be doing it in an episode. But
I do have a small pet peeve about this.
Okay.
Is buy a rule book, even if you don't want to spend the money on it, buy it anyway. You
it's
need
cheap.
To know the rules.
It's so cheap. The
we have
cheap.
A few people and. Like, one of the people that placed yesterday in the tournament, he played a lot of Mark 1, but he never bought a Mark 2 rulebook. Like, he didn't know, because my Rangers ran up and marked his Warlock and did a whole bunch of other things. He made a command check on him, and I failed it. And he's like, so they're going to flee? And I said, no, they're going to stand there and cower and still mark you, because it's a passive ability. He's like, no. And I said, no, it's in the rulebook. You need to buy it if you don't have it. And there's like a rule, a core mechanic rule that he didn't know. And I was like, I don't have to run. I can stay there and then make my command check.
Yeah, because the ability on the Rangers is not like they have to do anything. It's
no,
just
it's passive.
Near them. Yeah.
Yep.
Which is stupid, by the way.
It is dumb. They've become one of my favorite units.
And they're cool.
But anyway.
They're cool looking, yeah.
So what did we want to talk about today?
I was going to say the tournament. We haven't talked about the tournament. We just talked about the new people. So I played some games yesterday, and I'm going to talk about them. By the way, I made a promise to someone that I would mention a term that we have created. You know, people say faction whore, and it's like someone who goes through all the faction stuff. Mm-hmm. See, I think myself a faction whore because I've played lots of factions, yet I don't own any of the ones that I've played except for the ones I'm currently playing. Someone like AK, who owns a bunch of factions and plays them one at a time, is more like a faction Mormon. And so they can be with multiple people, but at the same time utilize all.
So they're faction gamists. Faction.
Yes.
Polyfactionist?
Because I didn't want to call him a whore, because I think he still is loving all of his factions, but at the same time, kind of has too many.
You know, it's just a
There's no
couple,
such thing as too many factions, yeah. Jace.
And you know, it's just a couple of, like, breakaway sex, CTS. In Mormonism, they do that. You know, it's actually not a Mormon thing anymore.
Well, there you go. I learned something.
So they say.
There
you go.
So I played some games, and I sucked really horrible. I still went 3-1, but I probably played worse than I've ever played ever. Like, I am so disappointed in myself. And one of my wins was the most ridiculous pull-out win of all time, and I had to talk about it. I was playing against Brachus.
What were you playing?
I was playing, well, at the time, I was playing Karchev.
Okay.
I felt like both of my lists weren't necessarily made really well, especially my Epic Eros list was the one, which is the one I lost with. Well, actually, let's start with that, because that was the first game I lost.
Right, before you go on, since you're starting, I need one of those rainbow chocolate chip cookies, so I can nosh on it while you're talking.
There you go.
Thank you. All right, continue.
This is a commercial for Rainbow Chips Deluxe by Keebler. They're my favorite cookies. So yeah, so my very first game, the first game I had lost was against Kurt, who was playing Trolls. He ended up getting second, played pretty well. But I just played horribly. We were doing Process of Elimination, which is now 2 6-inch wide, 12-inch long strips that go across, like from person to person. And like, I totally thought I was in a zone with these great bears, and one of them was out. So I didn't get the point. So he gets a point. So now I'm playing from behind. And then I thought I had moved all of my guys into the zone, but there's like two of them who are out. So I end up losing the game. It's just like absolutely horrible. You know, and apparently in Simulator 2010, you're not supposed to mark the zones. So it was even harder for me to tell because the strips were too narrow. Like if it was like a mosh pit.
You're not supposed to mark the zones?
No. You're not supposed to mark the zones anymore.
You're not supposed to mark the perimeters of the zones, the corners in the center. That's what you're supposed to mark.
Oh, okay.
You can do that?
That's what Hacksaw says we're supposed to do.
Oh, I thought it said you couldn't mark them at all.
On the boards, he was saying that you should mark the centers and the corners.
Yeah. I think on the form, on the 2010 form, it says you're not supposed to mark them. So.
Hey, Hacksaw, maybe you should fix that.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
Hacksaw.
God, whatever.
Hey, if you play with Hacksaw or if Hacksaw's listening, I want it done. No, anyways.
Take his 2x4 from him.
Maybe I read it wrong or something like that, but... it was just difficult because I was just being so dumb. Like I had way more than enough stuff to commit. Like I popped Epic Eresk's feet. I moved the Great Bears up. And I could have, the champions could only ever move 3. They were the only thing that was threatening them. I could have moved them, you know, 4 inches within the champions, but I kept them like 6 inches away. And what happened was I still lost that point. So it was playing from behind was difficult and, I just really messed up. And then the second game or the next game I played Karchev and some other Jax and some Wintergard and stuff. And I moved up Epic Eris to shoot Epic Asphyxius with her bolt, and I missed. And that he had Hellbound up. So if I would have gotten Hellbound up, I could have easily towed and Unearthly Rage and gotten 2 attacks, which on expected value would have killed him. But I went up and I missed. So then I just completely I wasn't even gonna go for it because you can't charge him. And he was kind of off in the wind. So I just kind of hunkered up, and I slowly was dying and dying and dying. At the end of the game, I had Karchev, 2 mechanics, Spriggan, and Harlan Versch left. Epic Asphyxius was on a hill with 1 focus, and Karchev was parasited, so that's another +1 armor. So I use the mechanics, and I charge this Bane Knight who's engaging Harlan Versch, and I miss. I'm like, okay. Then I had given the Spriggan 1 focus, and I tap one of the Withershell Combine to bulldoze him bulldoze 2 inches away. And I walk up to the Bane Knight. I make a boosted attack roll and I kill him. So Harlan Versch is unengaged now. Karchev goes and he uses his Ground Zero spell, which is a 5-inch pie plate. Oh, wait, first I actually used Reinhold. I forgot I had Reinhold left still. I gave him the lucky die. So then Ground Zero killing Reinhold, but I pushed these 2 Seethers back. He had made a Seether out of Drago.
Okay.
I had pushed 2 Seethers out of the way, and I was moving up, and I was so dumb, I forgot to measure my melee range, and I was just engaging another Bane Knight, so I couldn't do the 10-inch spray onto Asphyxius. Okay, and I had 1 focus to boost, so I was like, fuck. So Harlan Versch goes and stands still. Now, Harlan Versch, I don't know if you know, but if you have an upkeep spell on you, he gets additional die to attack and damage rolls, and he has a quad iron, and I need 9s to hit Asphyxius on the hill, because I stood still. He also ignores the +1 armor from Parasite because he has blessed weapons, but we didn't even take that into account during this time. So I roll and I hit, and then I roll an 11. So I deal, he's got 1 focus on him. So he's a 17.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 4 damage. Then I hit again and I roll a 15. And I hit again and I roll 15. Asphyxius died. It was the most ridiculous thing of all time.
The most ridiculous roles I've ever seen.
Nice.
Yeah, they were stupid. And I had, and this is a guy who, whenever I play him, he always seems to roll so well. So I'm always like, oh, he's brackusing me. And so he's, I always call him because he always just rolls like out of control. And I was like, I just brackused you. That's what I told him.
I got a question for you about Wither Shadow. If the player that's playing them does not have the model, that means the Jack's destroyed and it doesn't come out, correct?
Yeah, you have to bring
the model for it. Okay.
Oh, well, I just, we didn't do that. He's my Drago model.
Yeah, Mark had the same thing happen to him against Amanda, and he just let her use his Jack, which is cool. But and he asked me, I'm like, I think it does. He's like, it doesn't come out, right? I'm like, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that's
cool. If I was in the running for. Went for like the tournament, I would have been like, okay, where's your model? Like, he
well, yeah, it's otherwise it's a proxy, which is not legal in
right. Well, right. and that was friendly, it wasn't a big deal,
yeah, right,
exactly.
Right, right.
And like so. I said, if I was like, you know, going if I was actually had a chance to win something, you know, then I would have made him pull a Slayer out instead of Seether, but yeah, it was really fun tournament. I just played like shit, and I'm really happy because I still did all right, even though I played really horrible, which is good for two casters that, I was both experimenting with their lists a lot. I played with Yuri and two Manhunters in one of the lists, and I hate them. They're just too easy to kill. And yeah, they can dish out damage, but I think in the environment, they don't dish out the right kind of damage. In my opinion, you need to have stupid heavy hitters, which, yeah, they're weapon masters, but unless it's a light jack, you really can't take a lot out of it on like a heavy. And so, you know, you've got the Manhunter who's like that, and then, yeah, Yuri has Thresher now, but I still think it's not, because of the way units are clumped, it's not as powerful as
I think they're fantastic in. I mean, this is very situational. I mean, they're not bad. I'm not going to say that they're bad. I think that, you know, pathfinding speed 7?
Six.
Still, speed 6, 2 webmaster attacks. It's pretty solid. But if you're on a table with any sort of forest near the scoring zone, they are just fantastic because, do they all have Treewalker now with Yuri?
With Yuri, they do, and they get plus 2 defense.
You sit back there. You wait, and then you come in and clear out a corner of the zone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Send them in one at a time if you have to.
That's so situational.
How about
though?
Those boards yesterday? Exactly. They were the sparsest
boards.
They
looked like a five on dice, the pips.
Yeah.
Bing, bing, bing.
It was like
bing.
wall. Yeah.
Well, the terrain of that store, unless AK brought his stuff.
He did bring his stuff.
Oh, he just didn't spread out.
He just well,
he
were,
didn't have
there were
wasn't
what,
a
eight
lot.
Tables?
Yeah.
So, I'm just tired of no terrain. Like, I understand.
I think we need to start playing with a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree.
Just like an extra piece or two, not a whole lot.
I usually do at least 6 whenever I'm putting terrain on the table.
I think 6 is good. I would say, I mean, it depends on what those 6 are, though. Like
2 forests, 2 hills. Our minimum, usually.
I like a house. I like the forests. I like hills.
I like throw water in there occasionally. Water is underused, I
it's
think.
So
not against troll players.
Fuck you.
Oh, well, yeah, right. Or actually, when I do see water, it's always like on the edge of the board. Like, yeah, there's
nobody
water,
wants, nobody
water
wants
on the board.
Nobody
but it's
wants
nowhere
to
near the action.
It.
Yeah, right. You want to say you played with water, but you don't want to play with water.
I challenge the PGs to put water on the board. Because do Jacks still get, like...
They still get...
Knock out that furnace.
Does that really still happen?
I believe so.
I haven't read that. I don't remember seeing it.
Do you read the rule book? Maybe you need to buy one.
Yeah, no,
maybe,
I own
maybe
one.
Beasts should drown if they fall in water.
Start taking damage.
Call Google.
So anyways, so that was my tournament. It was, I sucked at it, pretty much.
That's right. A job.
It was a good time, though.
Good job.
Good job. Although the last game, I totally just second turn, Karchev, Toad, Beast 09, Scarsface.
We already started promoting hardcore for Daikon.
Nice. Yeah.
There's some people that we talk to there that only show up irregularly at tournaments, and they're like, oh yeah, we're playing and building some interesting lists.
Absolutely, yeah.
I've been making some really cool terrain that lights up.
Sweet.
For Daikon.
What?
It's going to be pretty cool.
For the train?
No.
Would that be for our event or for just in general?
Just in general.
Cool.
Have I been helping with this train? Conceptualizing?
This particular one, no, I don't think so.
Okay, I didn't know this is because I know we had some discussions.
Yes.
All right, so today I brought up a topic to these guys we're gonna talk about, kind of related to some of the stuff that Tim and Jason saw in the tournament. We're going to bitch about stuff without bitching, so to speak. Not really.
I'm going to bitch.
You're going to bitch? Okay.
Yep.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about some of the stuff that we more or less kind of fear right now, seeing across the table, or maybe just don't want to see or feel as our Achilles heel for what we typically play and that sort of stuff.
But War Machine only.
For the most part, because we don't know what Horde is going to change, I think it's fair to mention some Horde stuff, because I mean, we can assume that it's not all going to change, but you never know.
Yep.
You don't.
So who wants to go first?
Jason was really going about bitching there a second ago. So what do you want to talk about, Jason?
What I want to bitch about in War Machine? I would say, I mean, with the current scenarios and the way that they are, if you're not aggressive enough, some casters are just going to pretty much beat you to the punch. And it's the same as Bennett Mark 1, like Epic Denegra, for example. If you don't go first and you don't get into the zone, like let's just say you're playing Convergence or what. I think that's what the new Mosh Pit is called. If you're playing that and it's at the bottom of two, so like if she goes first, then you go. And if she moves up and locks you down, at the bottom of two, you score. If she's in the zone, she scores. And then she gets to go again, scores again, and the game's over.
Assuming she can clear out what little you might have in the area.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying if she can get it so that none of your stuff is in the zone at the end of your second turn. So if she can stop your second turn. So first turn, she runs. Second turn, she moves her 7 inches and pops her feet in a 14-inch area, and you can't move. If there is nothing, if she makes it so there's no way for you to get in the mosh pit, she automatically wins because you have to go score 2 points. She scores the point on your turn, and then she ends her next turn and scores a point again. So something like that is very difficult to deal with. Now, so that means you've got to be aggressive. Mm-hmm. You've got to have a way to get into the zone turn one and then hope that they can't clear it out. Luckily, Krix isn't super fast, but a Deathjack who advanced deploys could definitely be there to counter a large object in the center. So maybe even multiple large objects. Or try to, I mean, it's hard because if she's in the center of the board, 14 inches, not many people can get 14 inches in except for like cavalry. Mm-hmm. If you're from on a flank. So
I don't know if it's going to be very good.
So that's something that I fear personally, as far as the scenario, you know, scenario style is concerned.
For me, I was thinking about this the other day. Krix still has the same problem with its jack that it's always had. Defenses are pretty decent, but the armor's still low.
Your jacks are all light jacks?
Well, no, not necessarily that. But, you know, small damage grades relative to, like, you know, a Kador jack or something. And so you hit them a few times, and they're pretty brittle.
Mm-hmm.
So now in Mark 2, since I tend to take maybe an extra jack than relative to what it would in Mark 1, that seems to be more damage that I'm taking, in a sense, for, you know, a key piece. So I still tend to tape a lot of infantry, which still works in Krix a lot of times. And so I fear things like things that can really hit hard in a pinpoint fashion to target my jacks, and then I still have lots of stuff dying to AoEs. So that's something that I was fearing in Mark 1, and I still fear it in Mark 2.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting, I think, that at least for me, in my experience, Krix still has the same problems as it did in Mark 1 in terms of survivability and whatnot.
Do you have anything that you'd like to put in your list to counter some of your fears?
I tend to take a lot of stealth stuff now. You know, I don't have to worry about a lot of straight shot stuff. Bane Thralls are my go-to unit. I almost always take a unit of Bane Thralls. They hit harder than pretty much anything in the faction. It's hard to get them, to hit them from range. And, you can sometimes get them the extra couple inches with Tartarus if they curse the right thing. So they're still pretty effective. I've always found them very, very effective.
Okay.
I want to say something about yesterday in the tournament that happened that is just scary. It's weird because, I mean, I used to play Krix, like, all the time. And I brought Bane Knights and Tartarus, or Bane Thralls and Tartarus, whatever. I have not been, like, seriously death-tolled in a long time. And yesterday, Brack has made, like, 4 Bane Knights. I was like, wow, that's fucking awesome.
This past Wednesday, over 2 turns, I made 12 Bane Thralls.
That's insane. That's so many points.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's, like, 9 or 10 points of models.
Yeah. It's 2 min units. It's 10 points, yeah.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, 10 points like that.
That's pretty insane.
Did you have any mini models put back on the table?
I did not. I didn't put the 12th one down because I was out of Banes.
You can go buy some more.
I also ran out of soul tokens, even though I had 20.
Nice.
Who are you playing and what were you
Terminus,
playing?
Terminus against a very infantry-heavy retribution army.
Okay.
He was doing a Ron-tiered list.
Yes.
All right. I'll go next. When I was thinking about doing this, I kind of came up with 3 things, which I don't know. I mean, like I said, we're throwing the fear term around here. It's really the things that you really don't like the most across the table. And this is based on mostly my play at the Protectorate. And the first thing I hate to see is a huge ranged army. Especially when it's not going to engage you. And this is mostly a big deal in non-scenario play when people decide to sit back and just shoot and stuff like that. It's just, I play more combined arms, usually melee heavy because, well, I play the Protector at Forces. And running forward towards something like that with a slower army is just a pain in the butt. The second one is, this sounds kind of funny, but someone who hits too hard. You know, the Protector's big strength is being resilient, being able to take a punch and keep going and that kind of stuff. But if you get the right combinations of huge offensive output, I mean, something silly. I mean, even like IFP plus Fury will do it.
Well, that puts them at a 16.
Right.
That's huge.
That, all Ulans.
I mean, that kind of stuff will smash through even like a defensive buff TFG, assuming they hit. that's pretty significant. Stuff that pretty much completely mitigates my defense by just throwing that much offense at me. If I see that coming, I know I've got to be more careful because I can't just rely on my strength to see me through. I have to really watch my position even more than usual and set up, you know, counter charge and board control and that kind of stuff. And then the last one is kind of like something that you guys mentioned is the ultimate board control type stuff, like Denegra. Even both Irisks and Boulder to an extent, although Saxon Orc really helps with that. Not against Boulder.
Stupid model.
Yeah, but
not for long. There's no way that stays.
It's probably going to change. And that's, I mean, but for now, it does. You know, Rupert helps that because he's got Pathfinder down there to throw stuff to be able to, you know, get over rough terrain and that kind
of
stuff.
But even then, it's only so much.
Yeah, but even then, it's only so much, and you can't defeat Denegra's feat.
Which Denegra? Either.
Either are a problem, but the epic is the one that just locks you.
You can't go anywhere.
And that's a huge problem in scenario play. And that's when this one's really compounded, because if someone blows a defensive feat on you in a non-scenario play, if you feel you need to, you can back up. I mean, especially, I wouldn't feel bad backing up for a turn, because I have no range, I'm not doing it to shoot you, I'm just doing it to, you know, try and get the pounce. And basically I'm letting you shoot me again. So, you know, but that is, in competitive play, I think that the quote-unquote, like, ultimate board control army is just a real big pain, because there's not a whole lot you can do to get around that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's my turn? Okay, so, what I don't like to see across the board, from a Signar perspective, the thing that bothers me the most are those really big, you know, the casters you see that have a lot of the big debuff spells that really can just cripple your army in one blow. And to what I've found is that now I take Epic Iris almost in every army as a counter to that, because she can just get rid of enemy upkeeps without, you know, okay, mm-hmm. I'll kill one of my own guys to get rid of, you know, crippling grasp on my cab that need to charge your guys, or
rebuke, maybe
rebuke
or whatever it's called now.
Rebuke's not upkeep,
Yeah, that's one. I mean, there's all kinds of things that, like, in that nature that bother me, so I tend to take her a lot. I don't necessarily say I fear anything per se when I run across it. I just always look at it as, you know, what do I got to do to get around it.
But that's kind of the point, though. I mean, this is stuff that
you gotta deal with this shit.
Frustrates me. Playing against the trolls in the circle has frustrated me. I mean, I'm not gonna go into detail about specifically what. I mean, we're gonna go into more into hordes once we have, you know, a official, so to speak, final set of rules. But War Machine. Now the Denegras are always a problem. Protectorate. I always used to have problems with regular Sevi just because that feat just, you know, stops you from doing anything, really. Kador. Yeah, I haven't played too much against Kador in Mark II yet. I think both Irisks are going to be a pain in the ass. I they're actually two of my favorites, so when I get back to playing them, they're going to hit the table a lot. We haven't seen much of her yet, but I suspect the Old Witch is going to be a pain in my side, too.
What are your thoughts on stealth in general? I mean, I think the role of stealth has changed between Mark 1 and Mark 2, and does it really hamper whenever your opponent is really stealth, whenever you have a heavy shooty army?
Are you asking specifically against, like, Signar type stuff?
Yeah, specifically. Okay. Like, I was talking about my stealth answer to this problem, you know, what would that do against you if I had nothing but Banes and Denegra and Tartars and crap on the other side?
Well, consider I have fallen in love with Rangers, so they're a nice AD unit. They can usually get, especially if I don't advance them, you know, I just have them on the AD line and they only move up an inch or two. Mm-hmm. That usually means the enemy's got to run if they're going to get close. So I might get a couple shots off on, you know, get under the stealth and try to shoot them. Mm-hmm. But dealing with it, I've found, like, you know, Stormsmiths are always a good answer because they ignore stealth.
Right.
You know, and then you have, like, GMCA. I played him a couple times. He's good at ignoring the stealth because if he aims, he ignores it with arcane precision. There's always Mage Sight. I've really taken a liking to Siege and Cray because they have that ability. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to also, you know, shift around the board. So I tend to, constantly try to be on the move. So So if I have something with stealth, you know, if I can get a couple shots off and then position the rest of my army and make them kind of have to swing around or something, give me another turn of trying to whittle them down a little bit.
I also don't think that Tim uses, it doesn't seem like Tim uses lots of units that have a problem with it. The Arcane Tempest Gun Mages ignore it.
Well, yeah, they have the UA.
That's the unit I see Tim play all the time.
Yeah, they've become
He doesn't play. I haven't seen you play long gunners. You don't play like a sentinel or a
messed around with a lot of that stuff.
He has the chargers, but they're not necessarily as good at taking out the infant, like the Bane thralls and stuff, as much as like taking out. Like,
they'd be perfect for popping targets.
They're more suited to go against like solos or light jacks or some of the heavy, like I call them the heavy lights, like some of the Crix heavies, like the Slayer chassis tends to be, you know, they can do some decent damage to that, things like that.
I mean, it's not like you're taking things that are all range. It's not like you don't have any light. And it's not like I'm taking things that are all stealth. I mean, you're going to be shooting my bottles, which I will probably have, you know, so you're going to have targets out there.
Do you guys tend to put a lot in your armies to counteract some of the things that you're afraid of across the table, or do you do more of building your own offense, so to speak?
Recently, I've been really looking at like a very polar army. You mentioned bringing combined arms. It's almost taking it to an extreme. Like, I bring units that are the most shooty I can possibly bring. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, I have not brought IFP ever in playing my Kotor. And a lot of people complain about that or say that you're dumb or, you know, they're so good. But to me, they're just a mid-range unit without their without the threat range. I feel like I can do better with other things. So I'm going to scrap the IFP. Instead of with the IFP, I'm going to go with a jack that can possibly.
Or the Great Bears even.
Or even the Great Bears. Yeah, they're like a perfect example. For 5 points, for half the points of IFP plus UA, I have arguably the same amount of output against a jack. And while they can't tie up as much, hopefully my extreme level of shooty that I'm bringing is going to help me in that case. Like, I've been bringing either of the Winter Guards plus Joe. Like yesterday, my Winter Guard were awesome. I brought the Rifleman and I shot up a whole bunch of Fenblades. And yeah, they have Vengeance, but I had Tactical Supremacy, so it pretty much just counteracted Vengeance movement. He engaged them all. He ran to engage them all, and then I gave him boosted attack rolls and battle lust, and they killed most of them. They killed all of them. I just walk up, I killed a couple of them, and then I shot the rest of them. The ones that were engaging, I killed melee, and I shot the rest of them. So it was, they just worked out. And with Joe, it's just like, even if I didn't have battle lust, I would only need to roll sevens to kill, which, yeah, I'm not going to kill everyone. But the fact is, I'm mat five, but I'm boosting to hit. So I'm at least giving myself the chance to roll that seven. And with 10 guys against an
boosted
already
fives is great. I mean, on sprays, boosted fives is just going to wipe stuff up.
Yeah, but even on the 14-inch gunshots or even in melee, it's only POW 8, but it's like being mat 8.
That's something I got to set on fire. Thank God they're not assault commandos.
It's true.
I bet Strakow's going to have a spell that grants immunity to fire or something like that.
Oh my god, that would be the silliest spell, and I would use that.
His elite cadre is going to give
Assault commandos. Immunity to lightning.
Uh-huh, so then they'll be immune to everything.
That'd be cool.
No, they're going to be immune to non-aligned damage types.
Yeah, non-aligned damage types. Melee.
That's everything.
Yeah.
All right, so no one answered my question yet.
What was your question?
But how much of your armies do you guys think you dedicate to kind of making up for what you fear across the table? And how much is it you just go all out offense usually?
I do consciously put in quite a bit of stealth. Mm-hmm. Not 100%, not even necessarily 50%, but things that I know can really hit hard. And again, this usually comes back to the Bane Thralls, but because I just got a fucking love.
And your sirens.
You know, this is one of the things.
The sirens do a lot, yeah. But I mean, stealth, I think, is, it's not the weak thing that a lot of people think. People think, oh, you can always get around stealth. Not really. There's a lot of things that you can still do with it.
Usually the stuff that can get around stealth also either takes some resources, which you could do a lot more damage elsewhere, or it's a model that by itself can ignore stealth, but it could also do more damage elsewhere. So it's kind of you're directing it towards your stealth stuff when it really needs to be worried about like that arc node coming in or that unit of Bane Knights.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the Bane Thralls definitely give you an advantage too because they have the offensive punch stacked with the stealth. So you get double duty out of them.
Yeah. The problem is the speed.
That is a big problem. A lot of times though, if you need it, it's an automatic arm debuff too, I think you have to keep in mind. So you just run them where they need to be. I had Malediction on turn and was stacked with Dark Shroud the other day.
Oh my God, that's dumb.
-4 armor. That extra 2 is not a boost really, but I mean, it's, that puts you over the top in a lot of cases. Hell, you can engage something and then purge on it for a POW 14 if you wanted to.
Yep. I remember I used to use Epic Asphyxius and pop.
No, it's like, 16, isn't it? 12 plus 2. Plus two.
Oh, I just meant with Dark Shroud.
Oh.
But yeah, help put Terminus up there, make it a power 16. Why not?
I remember a specific game at Gen Con 2 years ago when I was using Tartarus, and I ran Tartarus, engaged Kaya and Laris, moved to Biothralls, purged all over him with the minus 2 armor, killing Tartarus, pop feet, here comes Tartarus again.
I can't remember if they did a ruling on that. Since the model can only activate once a turn, I don't know if you can really do that.
Well, that's what I did.
Well, that's fine. But I don't know if you can do
that. It was also Mark 1, so it's neither here nor there.
That's true. Ooh. Well, it was there, actually. Back there.
Well, guess what? It didn't matter because he didn't even charge. They already died. But that's not the point.
What about you, Tim?
Eris is epic. Eris is probably
pretty much it.
I definitely like to go for offensive punch. I think that still also plays into I'm trying to get away a little bit from the Kator mindset, but you know, when I play Kator, I try to go balls out and just be right in your face from the get-go.
With the Protector, it's so hard to say because so much of my stuff is a defensive buff anyway. It's hard to say what am I not building my strength and what am I actually doing specific counters. I don't do Epic Iris as much as you do or for the same purpose. I mean, I will occasionally throw her in and use her for that purpose. But if I throw her in, it's usually for an offensive use. Although I do try to a lot of times put in either like a Redeemer or a Vanquisher at the very least. Something that can throw out AoEs and do a lot of damage or at least have a lot of chances of doing damage. Just to try and take out some of that far-reaching stuff. Usually, though, with the hard-hitting stuff, I just have to try to... I mean, like, one of my favorite roadblocks is the Defender's Warded TFG plus unit attachment. Shield Wall, Iron Zeal, Heroic Call from the Piper. Because then they're 13, 15 plus 4 is 19. So they're 13, 19... Tough, but can't be knocked down.
Well, I know you said shield wall, iron seal, and defender.
Oh, and that's right. That's where the other two
21.
Is. 21.
Yeah. But that's when Epic Iris comes into play, and you're just like, nope. And then
right, no, definitely
way easier.
But again, well, that is making her shoot them. But usually with the casters had defender's ward, that's the big one. But it's I'm trying to just build up enough of a defense to slow up an offense. As far as the range thing, yeah, I have to try to have at least something that can reach out there. Unfortunately, my options are either only 10 inches, the Vanquisher, or inaccurate, which is the Redeemer. If the Redeemer was accurate, oh, man.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
No, it wouldn't.
Tim, can I commission your Signarin guys to make me an accurate Redeemer?
You can kidnap them.
Sweet, done.
What's funny about my problems that I have with my list is I love running heavy jacks with Kator. I've had such success with them.
Except for one, right?
Except for no, I see Beast on Nine is still the best. He just, you know what?
That's right. You were gonna tell him about what I did Wednesday, and then report on how it worked.
What was that? What was the thing you did Wednesday?
Beast on Nine failed you miserably.
Yeah.
You brought him over to me.
Yeah.
And made me yell at him.
Yeah.
I told him that Beast 08 was better.
Yeah.
And we were gonna demote him to Beast 06 if he didn't shape up.
And
how'd he do?
I put him on Scar and he killed her. So there you go.
So I am the Jack Motivator.
There you go, Jack Motivator.
He's like, I gotta get my act together.
Mail me your jacks, everyone out there. Mail them to me at davidirongen.com.
Like electronic scam.
Hey, if they can do it in Tron, you can do it with your jacks.
Sure.
Send them to me.
What's funny about my biggest problem is if I bring the heavy jacks, then the thing that I should be fearing the most is things that hit really hard. And there's not too much infantry that hits hard. There's a select few units in every faction, but I would say most of the time it's only one or two. And
I'd say the biggest thing that you have to fear when you go Jack Heavy is the Signar disruption bullshit, or God forbid Epic Nemo comes out, or Regular Nemo, whichever one has tracked.
Regular.
They both technically
Epic Nemo.
The spell and the gun.
Yeah.
And then your Jacks just sit in one place.
Yeah, I mean, that could be bad. I mean, if they're all within 3 inches of each other, but I usually like to spread them out. Unless it's Karchev.
Still, he could tie one in place. I mean...
Yeah, it's something. It's something. But I guess it's funny because the counter to what I need is usually them themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's a Carnivian on the board, they need to kill the Carnivian before he kills them. So, unfortunately, the Carnivian is faster and has all-terrain and has 10-inch Power 14 spray and has multiple Power 18
doesn't have Lockjaw anymore.
Doesn't have Lockjaw anymore and is only 11 points compared to... my 11 point things, but you know, I gotta jump on them. So, you know, maybe that, I mean, that's another reason why I'm tossing the Great Bears in almost every list. And I hate to have that 3-man unit crutch, but hell, you know, it's not even enough. I battle us to the Great Bears and they didn't kill the Earthborn yesterday. So, I mean, I don't know what you're supposed
to do. Wasn't he near a wall, though, to get.
Yeah, he was armor 22. He was armor 22. But still, I mean, that's like the offensive output.
And you
output.
Missed an attack, too.
No, I didn't. I hit him.
Kurt said you missed one.
I think it. I think it's kind of funny. And I mean, and this isn't. It just like Kotor's biggest strength is their offensive output. And their solution to every problem is just, well, we'll just hit it harder.
That's like, right. I love Joe Jones for that reason. He's like, oh, you just hit it. Like he always says, like, oh, I'm going to just hit it harder. Like, oh, Kotor punch or something. The list, he brought the tiered butcher list yesterday and then Epic Butcher All Doom Reaver Army as a second list. He's like, I can't wait to play Killbox. And he totally played Killbox and he brought the Epic Butcher Army. He's like, let's do this. He just pretty much ran Epic Butcher and then I think he won that game too. He just ran him and
he's waltzing around the Killbox.
No, he just was running every turn, like for two turns. I think he just ran at their caster and just was like, had the Doom Reavers just escorting him. And they were just, the Doom Reavers were all dying, but there was like three left in each unit, plus Fenris, plus, you know, Jakun, and so all this crap just coming and coming.
That's funny.
It was really cool to see the Butcher, on a side note, it was really cool to see the Butcher tier list, because the first turn, plus two speed Mana War, and the advanced deploy Jax, first turn, they were all at the center line. All of his Jax and all of his Mana War.
Well, that plus two speed, those Demacor ran 12 inches.
So
yeah, it's because not movement, it's plus speed.
Yeah. So that's, it was pretty
and
cool.
The Shock Troopers were like, we're going to move 6 inches and shield wall. I'm like, they're out of the game. Even six, they're out of the game.
Yeah, you still run them. They're
you
17.
Run them on the first turn.
Yeah, they can take it.
So I wonder what else they're going to spoil. I wonder if they're going to spoil other tier lists.
I'm sure they'll do probably one of the main guys for each of the factions.
That'll make sense.
I could see an Asphyxius one getting spilled, perhaps.
Well, the new North Quarter comes out next week.
I think so. Right? We haven't heard anything about it being pushed back. Everything else got pushed back. I would say it's going to come out next week because I think it's a different printer than where the books are.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's fine. But people were saying there's supposed to be Crick stuff in it.
Yeah.
It's about damn time.
My guess is you're going to see the Blood Reavers and the Bane Thrall UA, the stuff that they model of
preview. Right, right.
I bet the Protector stuff, I bet you're going to get your little repair guy.
Yeah.
And if he has power booster, I'm quitting the game.
Why?
I'm just joking.
Everyone's got
he's
it.
He's going to have it.
It's like
he's
gonna have, like, it's floating around
just
everywhere.
Like they're giving everybody shield, not shield wall, shield guard.
Yeah. Here's the question. Is he going to cost two or one?
One.
I can't believe the fucking Arcanist costs one. He's so good. Power booster for one. It's so good. Ugh. The Siren,
power booster
by the way,
for two is still good.
Not that bad.
Siren's not that
still
bad.
Still pretty darn good.
I kill them all. I have not. It's never done. It's killed one model.
Somebody putting them right up in your face or something? Because
No, they've held them back and then kind of sneaky.
When I played
how are you killing them? Just out of curiosity.
I killed them. Well, yesterday I killed the Battle Wizard Spray. Because I charge forward,
okay,
killed,
well,
and then
spray. Sprays are an exception, yeah.
And
yeah,
then right. I've killed her with blast damage before.
Yeah, well, yeah, those are the two ways you kill them.
Well, I don't know what to say. I usually have both of those.
Well, I don't let my opponents
do that
until they've done their job.
What do you mean?
Kept his back, kind of kept his one back. So it was just kind of there to give the Arc Node a focus when it needed to run or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
otherwise
really cool. Arc Node focus.
I wonder how well they'd be work to allow a Signar or a Crix player to go mostly, not Jackless, but extremely Jack Light, but just use them to tie up a heavy long enough for you to grab whatever control zone or whatever.
Well, you know, the Crix armies that I saw yesterday, if they're in any indication of a greater meta, not just like a local one, there was usually a Seether and Nightmare. Those were the two heavies that I saw all day.
Deathjack.
Oh, yeah, Deathjack. That's right. Dave had the Deathjack, and he didn't have the other two. But
Corruptor.
I used the Corruptor with Terminus the other day.
Brockus didn't
worthless.
Have him in the list that we played.
It's worthless.
And then it was like two Arcanodes. I never saw more than like two Arcanodes.
I will say that I agree that Arcanodes are going to be less, and I will say that I don't think the Seether's that good.
I think the Seether's boy,
Seether's
boy,
worth
price,
its points.
It gets essentially two focus for free. The one it gets for free, and then it's going to charge or run for free.
It so runs I guess, for, it's aggressive?
Yeah, I believe so.
Wow, it runs for free.
So I guess the focus isn't going to matter if it runs, but I mean, if you charge, you got that extra. So, oh my God. And then you're going to throw something after you hit twice, three times.
It's good.
I think people need to start playing the Crab Jacks myself.
I do too. The Leviathan's freaking ridiculous. It's the best. Oh my God, it's so good. Burst Fire's so dumb.
It's pretty good.
Needles.
I want to know what the third Crab Jack's going to look like.
It's going to look like this.
It's going to have two melee attacks.
Oh, that'd be so sweet.
It would probably end up having two melee attacks. That would
it has chain attack.
No,
like,
it's going to be a fiddler crab. It's going to have a little claw and a big claw.
I've always said I want a
it's
scorpion
gonna be a soft
chassis.
Shell crab so you can eat it on a
scorpion
sandwich.
Scorpion chassis. It's the future.
A what?
A scorpion chassis. That's
eight legs.
No, it has the...
Well, okay, I guess it would have
a laser one. Beam.
No.
Anyways,
that's
so...
Space game.
Fear. What is fear?
I don't know, Tim. Why don't you read your list?
By the way, speaking of pirates, I'm going to toss in a little Jason Flanzer thinks this unit rules is the Black Bane's Ghost Raiders.
Yeah, not bad.
I cannot believe they're speed 7. That is so ridiculous.
Seven?
So ridiculously fast.
That's ridiculous.
I had them, they were like behind a forest, and then they just ran. And then they're just like, I know, they're right there. It's ridiculous. They were
and
really
then my
good.
Gun may just kill them.
I'm just disappointed you can't shoot them anymore to make them explode.
Yeah, but that was kind of dumb.
Okay. So this cool. is supposed to be what you would, you know,
this
not
is
like
one of
the face.
Yeah, this
in
is
Signar.
One of the bad shit for Signar.
So my caster is Siege Brisbane.
Because you love Siege now.
Yes, he's. He could seriously replace Epic Nemo as one of my favorites.
Sure, man,
he is so good.
It's a mush.
Yeah. I gave him two defenders. He's got a squire. Got to have a squire for that extra.
That's all
you
the jacks.
Don't say.
All the jacks.
Crap.
Journeyman. Arcane Tempest Gun Mages with unit attachment. The Black 13th. Unit of Rangers. A full unit of Trencher Commandos with two Scatter Gunners. And Epic Eris. And that's 55 points exactly.
Sounds like a dead army to me.
Not a whole lot of melee.
That was the thing I was looking at. That I tried to put in something melee, and it just... I couldn't find anything to really fit. Especially because I wanted the two defenders to be in there. So, the way I look at it is if something's got to do some dirty work, one defender's probably going to be in combat. In melee. Which
still
isn't bad
it.
For...
Yeah.
if it's especially if it's against another jack. They have the Cortex hit. Mm-hmm. They take out the Cortex real quick. And if you're talking Siege's feet, that 16 is probably going to be...
It's 16 against armor 10 at best.
Yeah, you're talking 6 plus to potentially higher.
That's a column gone.
Yeah, well, no you want to hear hole. Something funny? Is in my game against Dave yesterday, and I ended up losing.
Not me, the other Dave.
No, the other Dave, zero. He had the cankerworm. It took like 3 points from one of my Black 13th. It moved up, and then in Siege's feature, and I had no focus on Old Rowdy. Old Rowdy hit it with the hammer and one-shotted it.
Oh, my God. Oh, well,
I was 10 plus the roll, because it...
Yeah, 10 plus the roll, yeah.
And then I rolled an 11 on two dice. He's like, I took 21 points. He's like, it's dead. I'm like, sweet.
21, really? That's all it has. I had 24 points.
I did 3 points.
Oh, but you already did 3 points, yeah.
Gun
okay.
Mage did three previous.
Sorry. Yeah, that's 24, yeah. Because that's four times
four,
six.
Four rows, yeah. Four rows, not three.
But I hadn't seen that happen before. It was kind
of
funny.
Lack of Helldivers, I don't like it. I think they're very good.
Lack of Helldivers? You don't like Helldivers?
No, I love it.
Oh,
I've never seen
people need to play them.
They're 3 points.
But yeah,
we've got some emails from some people who have said, I don't know who you're talking to that says that Helldivers are horrible. Helldivers rock.
Yeah, they do rock. Also, another thing that I think I need to see too, sorry to keep interrupting, but I just keep thinking of things, is man units of Mechanthrals, like one, for 3 points. I feel like they're totally worth 3 points for six guys that can hit PAL 15. Continue.
Okay. So that's the list. You know, I look at it. It's all ranged, obviously, but I got a fair number of magic attacks, so I can deal with Incorporeal. The Black 13th have a way of dealing with stealth. The Gun Mages with UA ignore stealth altogether. Use the Rangers. I've used them all the time. And you know what? Here's the sick thing. I used them yesterday. They actually will give you +2 when Siege uses Ground Pounder. So it compensates for not having an aiming bonus.
That's on the weapon? Ground Pounder is a part of the weapon attack?
It's a special attack. It says you can't gain the aiming bonus.
Oh, I thought he did get the aiming bonus in Mark 2.
No.
Really?
But he's a Rat 6, so
but
he doesn't...
There's no penalty anymore.
So he's always a Rat 6. And then the Rangers can make him a Rat 8. What happened is in my game against Zero, he ran a Satixus up with UA behind a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And on my first turn, my Rangers ran up and marked the entire unit. There's 11 of them.
But don't you,
and Siege moved up, ground pounded, boosted on the Sea Witch, killed her. And then the... What?
Are they all simultaneous, though?
Yeah.
Well, then getting rid of Force Barrier didn't do anything.
It's granted. It goes away as soon as you kill
She's
the model.
She's not dead until you resolve the entire attack.
Yeah. It's not blasting. But anyway, since I didn't know that, but I killed like the other... 5 or 6 are underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool. He was completely freaked out by it because he was, oh my God. And I said, yeah. So I was a Rat 8 and I just started killing stuff and it was great.
You mentioned a lot of magic attacks. That's something else I should mention. And I guess this is really specific for a Krix player, but I love me some machine rates and I'm freaked out more than ever about all your stupid little gun mage luck pistols and crap like that.
But here's the thing. They're only PAL 10.
That's all right.
I have found that.
Oh, you have to get the machine wraith.
Well, right.
Don't roll snakes on damage and you kill it.
Well, and he also ran a pistol wraith up, and my because I ran the Rangers and I spread them out, I marked the pistol wraith, and then the gun mage just went up in long shot and the first one killed it.
Dumb.
He's like, that is dumb. I'm like, yeah, pretty much.
That's
why you run the pistol wraith in melee.
The Arcane Tempest gun mages are very good in Mark II.
I think so. Yeah.
And I'm finding in a lot of ways that I almost prefer them to long gunners in many cases because they've got a lot more utility.
And their long guns are expensive as hell.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have 7 models in this unit, but they all have magic attacks and special bullets and things. Whereas, you know, that's 8 points. Ignore for 2 stealth. Points more, I get 10 long gunners.
And the CRA it. If you want it.
Right.
I mean,
They don't have CRA. All they have is the arcane. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But yeah, I mean, I think the gun mages, they're such a nice little package.
Well,
they have more than just straight damage.
Your long gunners are your big punches.
Yeah.
You've got the defenders. Especially, right. I mean, and let's look at the thing that we aren't mentioning that's kind of like Siege. Siege with the squire increasing his control area, goes up, drops shit out from in front of your caster, feats on it, and you eat two busted defender cannon. You do eat two busted defender shots, but they're also boosted.
Can you ground pounder? Yeah, you can ground pounder and then take a Reinhold shot.
Yeah, Reinhold. Oh yeah, I did that a couple times.
So you can ground pounder everyone in front of you under your feet, and then if you like, put the caster.
Ground pounder does not require a line of sight, so you can pick somebody in the back of the unit within range. And what's good about the squire... makes your control area 14 inches, which is the exact same range of your gun.
Well, you still have to have line sight to the guy you target with the attack, right? Because it's star attack. You target one guy and place the AoE. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, but so usually essentially you get somebody in front.
You shoot behind Forrest and crap like that anyway. Yeah.
But I mean, look at the thing, though. I mean, you've got Ground Pounder. You've got chain attack from Watts.
From Ryan. She don't have a chain attack. She has a special attack.
Sorry, special attack.
Which is sweet.
Her special attack. You've got ground pounder. You've got all those shots. You've got some potential sprays and or AoEs.
Correct. I have the commandos. The commandos
spray
have their
OEs,
grenades.
Good call.
And then the two sprays from the
commando. I think that Jason has labeled the commandos are spray OEs.
Spray OEs.
That's the unit's utility. It's a spray OE. All you have to do is punch the hole so that you can drop the last model out of the way and shoot it.
Oh yeah.
And you've got two boosted 16s. 15s. Even if they have a shield guard.
Right.
They're still going to eat one of them at half armor.
That's a dead boker.
You should cast signs of importance too.
That could cripple a jack pretty quick too.
The funny thing about shield guard and Siege's feet is like, he's like, oh, I take it. It's like, fine, your armor's half then. And then because the other person's armor's not half.
Right. Because it requires you to
hit them.
Damage them to have the armor.
Sure. Well, you don't. They actually never get hit.
Right. Right.
Because they are directly hit instead. That's cool.
Yeah. It's a fun little list.
It's definitely an offensive assassin list.
Oh yeah.
I mean, clearly.
Absolutely.
I mean, what would you guys do against something like that?
Run to Niagara.
Hopefully that you don't have
to
make
I know that's
up.
What you think was.
Well, I mean, even the stealth isn't going to save
me. Well, shot, yeah, because shot.
Yeah, you drop it, you foxhole everything in front of her, and
well,
then she dies.
Hold on a second. He's got...
Foxhole doesn't take away line of sight.
No, yes,
oh,
it
yeah,
does.
It does.
It drops models
into
the ground.
Yeah. He's got 6 focus.
Yes.
Let's say he gives probably 4 to the defenders.
7 with Squire.
7? All right, good point. He gives 4 to the defenders if he's going to use those.
Leaves him with 3.
Leaves him with 3. How many is foxhole? 2?
2, and so is mage sight.
So you can only cast one of them.
It doesn't matter. If you're hitting Denegra under her other feet, one should kill her anyways. She's armor 7.
There's many cases where she has 1 focus.
If you're going to try and kill her, her defense is 16. The rat on that thing is 6. You want to take 2 shots to make sure that you get her.
Oh, yeah. But I'm saying, like, you could also...
All I'm saying is you can't both drop everyone in front of her with foxhole and mage side to cancel.
But why
stuff.
Foxhole when you can ground pound?
If you have to do both. I'm just saying
you
have less
models,
tools.
It's going to kill them if you can hit them.
Yeah. Well, even with the 6, most of the models...
My point is you...
No, it requires one of the other ones.
My only point is you don't have both tools at your disposal on the turn.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Even as a Krix player, I don't really care about your feet too much unless it's on my caster or my jacks. Because I'm going to die anyway. Typically is low enough where it doesn't matter.
And against Brockus, I actually... Siege didn't even fire the ground pounder to win the game. He charged the seether, then popped his feet, and when he made his damage roll, I cut the jag and have it at 17 points.
Because you feed it after your charge move before the attack, right?
So
I'll tell you.
Well,
you
and I did that
because
then it caught Asphyxius, and then, you know.
Most broken thing ever, not really most broken thing ever, but biggest abuse of that I know of is Stone Skin.
With like a World Warden or something?
Yeah, you're like, oh, I charge. Stone Skin.
My
I'm
minus one
here.
Speed doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Assuming it keeps that way, which I don't see it changing. So.
Which was I saw a million times in Matt's games yesterday.
Yeah,
it was stupid.
Yeah,
and then they're like, "Oh yeah, I'm gonna stone skin this unit of wolves." By the way, at the end of their turn, they're like, oh yeah, one focus stone skin.
Mm-hmm.
Should still be offensive spells.
Could be, I suppose.
Right?
Yeah.
Could go back to offensive spells.
I hate for Megalith to only be able to do offensive spells, but they might give him like natural power or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Although it's nice that they all have the same spell rule. I do like that.
It's true.
Okay, so what would you guys do against a list like this, other than cower in fear?
Die, yeah.
I would say just run at siege, and then get Beast of Nine on siege, and then whiff.
Oh, so it's like our other game.
Yeah.
Another interesting option is you also have the ability to clear infantry out by putting Explosivo on both defenders early in the game. Mm. 3-inch AOE, you only get like one or two guys, but you probably...
You could. They're spots. Uber mortars when you
they
get it.
They are,
yeah.
Because they're boostable and they'll hit.
That's pretty sweet.
It is.
I'm going to have to, let's see. Try and clog off the battlefield, survive your stupid clearing, and engage your ship before you can shoot me. And that's really my best option. I can bring a devout, but I can't stop you from, throwing out mage sight or whatnot. So, I mean, I could throw Gorman or something like that, but I could say block it with my Covenant, block line of sight with a Covenant because it's a larger base.
Right.
But again, you just drop it.
It's a small base, but it's not.
Yeah.
I would say...
But it still has the Ancient Shroud, so even if I half its armor, it's only taking a point anyway.
I would say a lot of my casters have some pretty good defensive buffs, things like Iron Flesh. While you can Explosivo, you're not going to... I mean, if I put my Winter Guard, even just the Winter Guard as an example, Bob and Weave... Iron Fleshed, and then Tough with Joe. I mean, they're going to live. You know, a lot of them are going to live at least. Spread them out nicely. They're going to most likely have a pretty good chance of surviving anything you can toss at them. Because, you know, Defense 17, even if you're marking them, making your guys rat 8, I mean, you still need 9s to hit.
Yeah.
So a lot of them will live. And then
gotta
the next
out
turn.
The Rangers.
The Rangers are the key. And, you know, the funny thing is I haven't really shot a whole lot with them. I tend to just run them to mark things for everything
else. And then they
die.
Because you can abuse the new formation rules.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You can give them a run order. One can run away out of the unit. He can't do anything after that. But he stays there. He makes a command check. If he passes, he's fine. If he makes it, he quote-unquote flees, but you don't have to move him away ever.
He just cowers.
He just cowers, and he sits in that same spot and continues to debuff until he dies.
What do you think the other 5 Rangers are thinking? I'm not going next. Would you? Bob, I got a good feeling about you running out there.
I would also say, I mean, while
take this laser pointer and point it out.
Take the mirror right off his hole.
Siege hits hard, but in my opinion, he doesn't hit that hard. Like... I can take a Cotter or Jack and take a defender shot under the feet and be like, yeah, it's 5 plus the roll, but that's only 15 damage. It's a little less than half if you got mechanics or if you don't hit the Jack just right.
There's some, you know, depending on where you hit the Jack and stuff, that'll be a lot of it. But, you know, I also think that there's...
It's gonna suck, but...
If you have to get Siege in the melee, he's not a slouch by any means. I mean... Would you agree with this? Behind Lord Commander Stryker, he's probably their best melee fighter.
Under his feet, sure.
I would say Epic Kane, probably.
Well, he's not really a melee fighter.
But he goes up and shoots you. No, I would say, yeah. Let me think. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, who else is there?
And he's got crit smite, so if he can crit you, he can get you out of the way.
Darius does have full throttle with
what
a
if you
Quake
accidentally
hammer.
Crit when you don't want to?
It's a May.
Oh, there you go. Interesting.
Darius has Quake Hammer and full throttle.
That's pretty good, too. But if Darius, well, just like Siege, if they're in the middle of things, there's probably
I thought my Darius gets
him,
get his game on
a little bit. He cranes himself forward.
I've charged something who was standing on one of my jacks and then killed him and then popped my feet and then slid off the backside and then my jack was
Can't
there.
Do it on a wreck marker anymore.
Oh, well, that's stupid. What? Oh, yeah, the change.
Yeah,
God, Darius got nerfed so fucking hard. Oh, well.
I was going to say, despite all the guns you have in there, I'd like to actually try tournaments against it. Try to sack pawn my way up the field. Keep stuff behind him.
That'd be fun.
Because I think he can sack pawn 360 now. I don't think it has to be in his front arc.
Even then, if you can't focus, pretend he has your armor to 9,
mm-hmm.
up it to, let's say,
I'll
you
take
have 4.
I'll take one hard hit, and then I should be okay after that.
Yeah, I would say so.
So, yeah.
Well, and I think the goal for me would be to try to weed out as much of your infantry as possible.
Kill all of your own living models so I can't get any souls.
Good idea.
Do it on my feet turn, by the way.
I definitely think that, yeah, mitigating the range is the key.
Yeah.
You know, another
it's so hard
variant,
when there's that much of it.
Exactly.
Another variant of this list that would be interesting is a Defender and a Cyclone, because there's the potential for six other target, you know, six different mm-hmm. targets under the
field. It's got a good defensive thing in there, too.
Yeah, covering fire is good for keeping people.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the Cyclone, but I think you have enough other things to
shoot
the
infantry. There's other things that keep
that
stuff
it's redundant.
Going. Yeah.
It's more redundant in this list than a second Defender, because, like you said, with Explosivo, on top of being a good AoE that's accurate... It's your second big punch.
At 1,000 points, you would add Carousalone.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. That would be dumb.
I'm just saying. I think it could be
half armor
weapon master.
That is crazy.
I mean, technically, no, it hits a little bit harder than Siege's cannon does. But
because a weapon master hits a bit harder.
The potential to hit even retarded.
That was one of the debates when they first talked about her weapon on the big boards was her compared to Siege.
But it's magical.
Right.
So.
And that's a big part. But, you know, if you want it magical... You cast Explosive, it gives you Magical Weapon and the 3-inch AoE.
But it costs one, and you can also cast that spell that makes her range 16.
Well, right. I'm not saying... I mean, there's ways of getting it.
Can you bring two Reinholds?
Or Ion on Hulk can go, hey, your attacks
Reinhold,
are magical.
His brother.
Einholt.
Bob Holt.
Einholt. That's him. That's Dave.
I'm Einholt.
Einholt and Reinholt.
So, yeah, so...
I'm Larry, this is my brother... No, I'm David, this is my brother, Larry.
So, how would you take care of that?
Does this list have a name?
He said Terminus.
Does this list have a name?
The Tripod.
The Tripod, yes. Because there was the Tower of Power, you know?
Right.
But now you've got two Defenders and Siege, so it's the Tripod.
Oh, Lord.
Tim, what's that? Oh, there's poker chips on your shirt.
Yes, yes.
Oh, boy. I kept, from here, it looked like a parrot, some birds.
How do you get
Well, I saw the different colors, and I thought, okay, it's like some bird of paradise.
You might want to get your prescription checked.
It's been several years.
Ugh.
So you said you would do what exactly?
Well, no shooty on my jacks.
No shooty on my jacks?
Well, he's got so many magic guns, though. Those stuff's going to peck away at
him. Well, and you know what I would do
magic,
with that?
You could target? Mm-hmm. Magical weapons?
Magical weapons.
So you can Explosivo the jacks and still shoot your jacks. Wow, uh-huh. That sucks.
Well, and I would use, for like the heavies coming my way, like the Avatar and stuff, I'd probably use gun mages to push and potentially knock down.
Yes.
You know, keep stuff away. There's a lot of interesting elements to this list.
The problem is, for me, it's going to be a rush. I have to give him so much that he wants to kill that he can't kill everything, unfortunately. That's the only thing I have, because...
Luckily, your Jax costs.
Now,
Protector, it can do that pretty
now,
well.
Now, if I have, like, a Redeemer, shooting Redeemers at the Gun Mages, it's going to work really well. A Vanquisher, it can get close enough to throw the AoE and cause fire. That's going to wreak havoc. The Commandos are probably going to be the target for that, because they're closer.
Right.
So he'll get to those first. You know, and the thing is, you know, if I have a Vanquisher that walks upfield, I mean, it'd be awesome if I had Epic Fiora so it can move 6 inches instead of 4, with her escort spell. But, you know, it moves up 4 inches, it maybe lobs a fire, template at the commandos, hits them, and maybe I also have an avatar that's running. Well, if I do that, you're gonna want to shoot the avatar.
Right.
Maybe the Vanquisher has a chance to get upfield further.
What about 4 Vanquishers? How do you think that would fare?
It would be, It would be different. I don't know if they do very well because they're too slow and the range isn't that great.
But if someone like Fiora who's got high armor who can resist that kind of stuff, plus the feet, Epic Fiora with
the feet. You can always, I mean, granted this is knowing what you're going to do, but if I see the Vanquisher starting to edge towards them, I could always put them in a foxhole. No blast damage. So,
no blast damage, but they still take fire.
Still take down fire.
Well, yeah.
But then so they die. That's what I'm saying.
Right. You still have a chance of surviving that.
But 2/3 of the time you're going to die. Expected 2/3 of the time. But if everything's on fire, and plus you can just move fire on a siege, and it'll never go out eventually. I mean, it's pretty sweet. And Epic Fiora is just a bitch. 15, 17 is insane.
She's probably my least favorite protector caster, sure.
Actually help the Jax move?
I've never had a problem with
that. Yeah, with escort. Yeah.
For some reason, I've never had a problem with Epic Fiora. I don't know why. She's very good. I don't know why.
She was my Bane Cator.
Yeah, good point. Retribution, what about them?
They've got a lot of stealth.
They got a lot of stealth.
You can't headshot at all while you've got the gun mages, but they can also kill the gun mages easier. So I'd say Stormfall Archers would be nice.
If they do something like the what is her name? Raven.
Raven will be a really good counter.
The fuck is her name? The Raven Strike Force combo to try and kill Siege.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Okay, what's the Strike Force combo?
Either one.
What's the Raven Strike Force?
Raven's feet gives him boosted attack rolls.
Oh, to kill Siege? Powtan's on Siege. Probably don't worry.
Ignoring his shit?
He's armor 17.
I thought he was armor 16 base.
No,
he's 17.
Oh, he's 17. But yeah, Kalus as well. Ron, I mean, the
feet would be, because he could definitely keep stuff away with force hammer. And
well, he doesn't want to keep away. That's the problem.
Or he can pull things closer so you can get the jump. Yeah. Well, I saw a lot of force bolting going on yesterday between druids and a lot of the battle mages in the Retribution were doing that.
Yep, absolutely. Fucking druids.
And Viking was using it. He was hitting his own guys with force bolt to push them forward.
Did it say enemy?
Wait, was it an enemy? So he played it wrong then.
So he cheated.
He probably missed it. Cheated. Not a big deal.
I remember, I think, because Mark 1, that was a change. They had the, like, the change in the cards, but not in the book or something like that.
Right.
And so I would always take Darius, I'd crane something like a centurion, then I'd push him forward and then like charge him and kill people. And I did that like twice in a row without realizing it was illegal. I felt bad.
Dupes.
So I had to go change it in the league rules, in the results.
You're so honest.
We got Puck. Puck right here, the kitty cat.
Look at Puck.
He's going to kill you now.
He's going to punch you. No, that's only me.
We need to do a video cast.
So video cast?
See what goes on.
What if, like, when we video cast, we just made it look like all of the cats?
We're all cats.
You have enough cats?
I'll bring my four cats over.
Yeah, get a bag full of cats.
You guys would kill me. Just on allergies alone.
Yeah.
That would be worth it. It would be so cool.
No, it wouldn't.
Like, we'll be under the table, and we'll be like,
I'd probably be Puck, because I'm the rabble rouser.
But you don't know what garbled means.
I have no fucking clue what garbled means. I still don't.
Well, you know now.
No, I don't even care. I don't even know.
So what else?
Mercs.
Mercs?
Dwarfs. What about the dwarfs?
Ooh. Oh, if the dwarfs could take it.
Oh, whatever.
Arm 19 have.
Put yourself behind that rock wall.
Well, with their shield wall, most of the time, the dwarves can stand up to at least the
Powtens.
The Powtens.
The Powtens aren't the problem.
Even the ground pounders. No, I mean, no blast. Is it blast? It's not blast damage.
No, it's not. It's a ranged attack.
But I would say the dwarves are actually pretty good against it, and I'll tell you why. Durgan can clear you out. Durgan can clear you out. No matter how many gun bunnies you can take down, there's always going to be more. There's always going to be, you know, they've got their own defender now, you know, the Avalancher. Yep. And, I mean,
he's got a decent armor.
And
they'll
explosive of that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the explosive of game.
No, he already has explosive. He already has an AoE.
He does.
He's like a 3-inch explosive.
And with 3 dice damage, you know, they can definitely take out
some
stuff.
I just want to kill the bear. Victory.
The bear's not going to be there because it's not that good compared to, I think
you'll still see it in Seer Forge lists. Just
I think that once that, Hammerfall High Shield UA comes out and he tells the stories of old, he's gonna.
You know what I think is gonna be funny is the
he puts
pirate
the other
army.
Opponent to sleep.
The what?
The pirate army.
I guess
there's 4+ tough rolls running at you.
Yeah. Do they still. Oh, they do still have that, don't they?
Yeah, that would be bad.
I'd say Bart.
No, it's the Adak, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say Bart versus Siege. Just have a big shootout. I mean, he's gonna take out all of your infantry, like guaranteed. Now,
you
can't
probably
cap
3
him.
Mules. Yeah.
That will be the infantry will die. It'll be battle group versus battle group.
Mules aren't as good anymore. Mules just aren't as good anymore because you don't get the bonus to the +4 inches during their activation. It's only during their activation. So the broadside shots aren't +4, which is huge. That is huge. As far as a Bart army is concerned, that is huge.
Mm-hmm. You still run them forward and then
solo.
That's why I'm going to give away a secret that Z and I were talking about. Use Highborn, Gun Mages, Mule.
Oh, yeah, that's dumb because you can snipe it. And if you take the UA, you can snipe it. Then it'll stand still and aim.
Or you crit brutal and you give them a thing and then you crit sling brutally.
Crit That's brutal dumb. Devastation.
Yeah. So it's brutal devastation. There you go. It sounds sweet even. I think the gun mages are going to be an excellent addition to mercs, by the way. We haven't really mentioned that, but that's.
So it sounds like the best counter to this is to outshoot it.
In a lot of ways, it kind of is.
See, but I think that if I were playing, I would just run at you and just take it to the chin. You know, you have to. Sometimes you just have to.
No, I mean, if you're playing a caster that can't outshoot him, you've got to sit on your focus, which sucks. And that's actually a benefit of the list is it forces you not to be able to use all your focus.
Until Epicurus.
Yeah.
2 units of Kyazi Assassins.
Oh, God.
Don't care if you ignore the stealth. They're coming. And they're going to, as long as I can wipe out the Rangers, you shouldn't be able to hit too easily. And then your explosive shots will kill them, but there's 2 units. Now, I don't know. I think that, you know,
there's some
strong
there's
stuff.
Definite some counters to this list by any means.
But yeah, I mean, you're just really conceptualizing the shooty army in Mark II and how it actually will work. In my opinion, that's what you're doing.
Yesterday, I used, instead of 2 defenders, I had a defender and Old Rowdy. Mm-hmm. That worked really well.
Rowdy got in the.
Because he's so focus efficient. He's dumb.
I can't believe he runs.
He's
I can't believe they gave aggressive
points.
To everyone. It was like, oh.
I don't have it.
Yeah. Not yet.
Yeah, you have the Avatar, though, and he's pretty much...
He's aggressive in his own offensive way.
The cat likes you.
My cat won't leave me alone. I made a mistake of petting him, and now he wants more.
Whore.
So that's about it for us?
I think so.
Okay.
Before we go, I want to mention...
Tim, I hate your list.
Okay. I have to mention one thing. So I meant to go at the very beginning. I had a Salty Dog Cinema real quick.
Okay.
That's actually an old one that I was reminded of. Vader sent me a PM saying, hey, you might want to do this one. It's the Chad Vader videos that those people did.
I've seen them.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the newer ones.
I think there's 8 of them now, I think. Maybe something
there's
like that.
There's 2 seasons.
Oh, are there seasons? Oh, it must have just been season 1 I saw. I don't think I've seen season 2. But it's pretty
what
funny.
Is it?
It's Chad Vader, like the name Chad, and then Vader like Darth Vader. Just look it up on YouTube. It's a... You'll see. He's a day manager. He starts out as a day manager of a grocery store and...
Night manager.
And he turns into the night manager and then makes it back to day manager. Yeah.
Other way around, I think.
He starts the day.
Yeah, that's right, he does.
But it's funny. You'll see. Just Google it.
I think it's jumped the shark, but the early stuff's funny.
Yeah, it's entertaining.
Also, if you guys have any ideas for anything that you guys fear in War Machine, absolutely send it to us. I'm just interested in what other people think, other people in other metas. You know, it's so new to us. We haven't played everywhere yet.
We know there's a lot of broken stuff, but what specifically stands out?
Exactly.
Because all these metas are going to come together in like the big national cons and things. I think it'd be cool.
Oh, the Invitational.
To sort of get a jump on it to know what's going to be there.
By the way, I know Carl talked about perhaps having a qualifier at Gen Con. It is now fact. There will be a War Machine Weekend qualifier at Gen Con.
Really?
So if you are able to get to Gen Con, you can get a seat in that War Machine Weekend Invitational to win some fatty prizes.
Cool.
When? What day is it going to be?
I think it'll be on the last day when the finals of Masters is.
Oh, okay.
Which the winner of Masters will also get an invitation.
That would make sense. Yeah.
So I think that's the day it's going to be, but it may be another day. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it's Sunday morning, like early, and so that way it's not going to be that long because I think it'll only be. So many people. I don't know. I may be wrong.
You should hold it at like 4 in the morning when Hacksaw's doing his 24/7 stuff. You should do it like 4 in the morning.
I don't know about that.
Because if you can win that,
that's right.
Then you deserve to go.
So, anyways, that's all I got.
I don't deserve to go. I'm going to be working on my phylactery at that time of night.
Okay.
Cool.
Sounds good.
All right.
I just banged the mic. God damn it.
Yeah, you do.
I fail.
It was asking for it.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.
To contact Iron Agenda by email, send your message to contact@ironagenda.com. To send a voicemail, dial 206-333-0983. Iron Agenda is copyright 2010 by its hosts and released under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. Opening and closing music provided by Joshua Salter. Iron Agenda is affiliated with Spooky Outhouse Productions. For more podcasts, visit www.spookyouthouse.com.